This is music from Jason Moran and Robert Glasper. Welcome to The Checkout from WBGL. I'm Josh Jackson. On one wintry night in 2014, the two pianists met on stage at New York City's Town Hall for a celebration, Blue Note Records' 75th anniversary. We bring you music from that Town Hall concert and a candid conversation about how they hear themselves, each other, and where they think the sound of jazz is going. Chicago's hypnotic brass ensemble caught fire at New York City's Le Poisson Rouge during Winter Jazz Fest. The Checkout takes you there. But first, it's Electro Gypsy Swing from Paris. WBGO's Simon Rettner talks to Caravan Palace about sampling old-timey jazz with stomping drum and bass. This is The Checkout. Thanks for checking in.
I'm Simon Rettner, sitting here with the members, two members of Caravan Palace, the Parisian electro jazz gypsy band. Charles de la Porte, the bassist, percussionist, electronics wizard, little bit of all, and the fiddler, electronic fiddler and singer, Hugo Payen. So do you guys swing?
we rock. Swing means a lot of things in English, I think. So maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know which swing you mean. Be more precious, please. Do you swing, Charles?
I think I do, yeah. Yeah, I think.
Every night.
Well, I read somewhere that you guys are sort of jazz trained a little bit, right?
Some of us played jazz for a long time, but not every one of us.
No, we can say that we learned together to play jazz. Gypsy jazz, I mean. And we had a band with Hugo at the violin, Arno at the guitar, and I played the double bass. And we learned together. And we produced electronic music on the other side, and we didn't know how to choose gypsy jazz or electronic music, so we mixed both, and that's it.
Every Night, Maniac, by Caravan Palace. I hear some Django Reinhardt, I think. Tell me the samples that you've used in your music.
Many are from American swing music, like Lionel Hampton, Mildred Bailey.
We like to find good samples and replay it later. Sometimes on the disc, sometimes just for the show, the live show. We have to transform it, always, to stretch it or to pitch it. We can't keep the samples as is. It's impossible for us, so we have to...
So you have no idea who that guitarist is in Pirates that sounds like Django Reinhardt?
Yes, it's our guitarist. No. It's Arno.
It's not a sample.
Oh, that's not a sample.
Yeah, we play instruments sometimes, just sometimes.
I remember in an interview you guys said that initially when you started playing this music and you formed this band, you were a little concerned about what the true gypsy musicians in Europe would think of your music. Have you ever experienced any true pushback from that scene?
Yes. We had the chance to play at a very famous Gypsy Jazz Festival at the very beginning of life. It was a festival de Samoa, a festival Django Reinhardt in Samoa-sur-Seine. And we were quite afraid of their reaction, but it was very cool. And the next year, we came back there, and every gypsy guy was looking at us with sparkles in their eyes. And it was very it was incredible. And we heard that Biréli Lagren, great guitarist, loved what we do. So it's an honor for us.
Yeah. Biréli Lagren, the great gypsy jazz player from France, endorses Caravan Palace.
Endorses, you can say that.
Let's listen to the track they made a music video of. You can see it on their website. Dramaphone, Caravan Palace. Caravan Palace. Let's talk about your music video, Dramaphone. People just break out into swing dancing. Has that ever happened at your show?
Yeah. Yes, a lot.
Maybe every night, no?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what we try to do, to make the people do too. And we have the chance to have two dancers in the band, the singer, Colette Zoé, and Toustou, the machinist. So every night we are lucky to see a good dancing on stage.
Maybe that's the benefit of being French, is maybe Americans can't make this music because musicians here are maybe scared to tap into this material and make it into sort of dance music. Do you think because you're Parisians, you can take this material and not really think twice about it so much, and it's just purely out of the love of the sound.
Maybe because we are European, more than especially French, because you have a lot of German electro swing makers, you have a lot of, Belgian, Italian, or English. So it's not specifically French, but I think you're right because we are not ashamed to do that. It's just something natural for us to be interested in that big culture, that is North American culture. So it's not a problem for us. It's a solution.
Caravan Palace's self-titled debut recording. To see their touring schedule and music videos, visit caravanpalace.com. Coming up next, two piano giants from the modern age reflect on the history of Blue Note Records. Robert Glasper and Jason Moran are next. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. On January 6th, 2014, Blue Note Records celebrated its 75th anniversary. The label commemorated the moment by bringing two of its stars together, Jason Moran and Robert Glasper, for a concert at New York City's Town Hall. Before the show, I spoke to the pianist about the label's storied catalog, beginning with this recording. It's from the first session at Blue Note Records, made by Albert Ammons and Mead Lux Lewis in 1939. Jason, what are your impressions of hearing this music? I know while it was playing, you were saying to Robert, you know, that's what I'm talking about right there, Albert Ammons and Mead Lux Lewis. What are we hearing?
Piano players talk about other piano players and how they use their hands. Real piano players use both hands really well. Here, these two pianists playing on one piano and using their space that they have really well. And so I was telling Robert, you know, whoever's playing on the top, they do these kind of like two-handed figures, like these. And Robert has these figures that he does, his versions of those, you know, kind of how we both have taken parts of those sounds, but what are their contemporary aspects today?
Right.
What are those sounds when you talk about Robert Glasper and those? I mean, he has sort of his own version of harmony when I hear what he does.
Yeah. I don't know why. Am I going to talk about Robert while he sits next to me? This is hilarious. This is good. I should do this more often.
Right.
Spotlight. You know, like, first of all, Robert's hands are really fast, right? And the articulation is really clear. When I'm listening, I'm never questioning like what it is he's actually playing, because he actually displays it so clear. You know, people want to play with that because it's so clear and you're presented with a lot of options with the clarity. So like when I listen to his two-handed things, first of all, like these figures, like where you're playing like double octaves. Why don't I get a little bit jazz nerdy right now and talk about double octaves?
Two octaves apart.
Yeah.
Doc says we have to.
You know, like that finest newborn and right. You know, so many other great pianists kind of mastered this thing. But then Robert started to take this thing to another space. And somebody mentioned the term to me, like almost like speed metal jazz. It wasn't. They weren't saying it in association with Robert, but there's something about how quickly he plays some of those ideas that it's almost like the record has been sped up. So like, you know how Alvin and the Chipmunks, like how that, like, you know, like when he plays these things like that, like this kind of like dizzying kind of rapid fire of precision in both hands. Man, that's crazy. When you sit down and try to transcribe your fellow pianists, you are presented with the technical challenges. And I've tried to sit down and play some of Robert's things, and I was like, well, let me just play the slower thing.
First of all, I've been trying to play Jason's stuff since I was in high school. Let's just start there.
This is in Houston.
A lot of people don't know we're both from Houston, Texas. We both went to the same high school. Jason graduated before I got there. So when I got there, all the teachers and everybody, you know, were like, oh man, you're a talented young dude. Keep doing what you're doing. You might be able to be the next Jason Moran kind of thing, right? So that's what I came up from my high school. So at my high school, we went to a performing arts high school in Houston. I had the high school for the performing visual arts. Our school used to do a record every year. So whatever the highest combo was, did a record. When I got to the school, my jazz director gave me the record of the combo from the last recording they did, and it was Jason on piano. I listened to that my whole high school career. Like, he's probably my first, after Oscar Peterson and Chick Corea and Keith Jarrett, you're probably my next influence. right after all of them, because I used to listen to it all the time. Jason has chops the same way. He just chooses, he can pick and choose what he wants to do. You know, he's like, I want to do this. This is how I feel. I want to do this. He's like a movie director. That's exactly what it is. It's about soundtracks with Jason, about what it is that he's capturing at this time. You know what I mean? And everybody can't do that. We'll be right back.
the Jason Moran, Robert Glasper Double Trio, recorded by WBGO January 15th, 2011, at the 713-212 Houstonians and NYC concert at 92Y Tribeca. Robert Glasper on piano, Jason Moran on Fender Rhodes, with Alan Hampton acoustic bass, Mark Kelly electric bass, drummers Chris Dave and Eric Harlan. Jason Moran and Robert Glasper join us on the checkout to celebrate 75 years of Blue Note history. Do either of you remember the first Blue Note record that you heard?
I remember my brother for Christmas, maybe when I was in 10th grade, he gave me two tapes. It wasn't a record. It was two tapes of The Genius of Modern Music. It was Thelonious Monk. And so he's like, so you like Monk, so here are these two tapes of when they used to make tapes.
Right.
Blue Note tapes. So I had these Blue Note tapes of Monk. Those were the first ones. And I did not understand what I was hearing when I listened to them.
One that became a real impact for me was Speak No Evil. I love the sound of that record, the mood of that record.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful sound.
You know, that's the other part. It's like then how the records are recorded. And I remember calling Robert being like, okay, like your last three records like have this sound that, I kind of would like some sound that sounds like that. How did you get that sound? Because now that for me is becoming like a staple of a Blue Note sound too. You know, like the Blue Note sound kind of keeps shifting. Mm-hmm. You know, from those old tapes of Albert Ammons that we just heard earlier, to then what Rob is playing now, it's like really moves through some territory. The stuff in the 70s, you know, all the stuff that people were sampling, the break beats, you know, how the bass and the drums sounded, you know, all the groove records with the organ, you know.
Do you think it's harder to find people who, in the business, whatever's left of it, you know, who really care about music, who really have that kind of...
No one cares about sound anymore. Mm. Especially in jazz, no one cares about... Literally, how is this sounding? You know what I mean? Like, everybody cares about their songs and blah, blah, blah. They get an engineer, but there's no, like Jason was saying, there's no, like, in this era, this was a sound. This was a sound. In jazz, you know what I mean?
And now, we're so close to it right now, too. Like all of our kids are here, actually.
Yeah,
they're in the studio next door. So Riley, Jonas, and Malcolm will be the ones to say, oh, well, Dad,
right,
your sound was ...
Boom,
you didn't
know
it while you were making it.
Exactly.
What do you think is defining the sound? Like, say, for instance, you talked about, Jason, the sound that Robert is getting out of these most recent records, Black Radio, Black Radio 2, Double Booked even, you know, like, something about that sound sounds hot.
My engineer. Well, you know what it is, too? It's because we're like, okay, you know, we're jazz guys, but we're of the hip-hop generation. The stuff that I have nostalgia for has a different sound than the stuff my grandmother had nostalgia for. And that's supposed to be like that, you know? And so when it was time to make these albums, I wanted the sound to reflect even the new systems people are listening to music on now. You know what I mean? Because that plays a part too. You know, I like my stuff to be played in jazz clubs. I like my stuff to be played in hip hop clubs. I like my stuff to be played in lounges and all kinds of places. So I like a certain beefness to the sound.
Dillitude number 2 from Robert Glasper's Black Radio Recovered here on The Checkout.
The record sort of fades in and out at times, Robert.
Exactly. I love it. I like to be unexpected, you know, just so you don't know what's going to happen, and random interludes. And I actually take that from my love of hip-hop records because they have fun. You know, funny interludes, musical little interludes, fading in and out, these different things that you have an experience of.
Like a mixtape.
Like a mixtape, yeah. Sometimes jazz can be too serious. And it's kind of obvious, you know.
Can you remind me, like, an early precedent of, like, Ornette Coleman on Blue Note, the record is called New York Is Now, and they have a song called We Now Break for Commercials or something like that. And so they play this thing, and then they stop and they say, We're Now Break for Commercials. In the middle of the track. And then you go, then they go back into the... There is something about the as we both went to conservatories, mm-hmm. you know, like we kind of gone through jazz education, and they I don't know, I'm also a teacher now, so I want to be
That's right, you're at the New England Conservatory.
Because it's also I'm part of it.
You're right,
I'm a part of the establishment. But you know, like I try to remind students that you should really kind of take hold of the things that you've heard in your life that have been impacted you, and make sure that you can also distribute your music the same way. That there is no barrier just because you're playing a certain canon of music that says that you can't do this with it. You know, so the same with classical music, or the same with opera, or the same with jazz. Each one of them has their tropes, and that they're kind of like confined to. So like listening to Rob's records over the last years, I was like, yeah, this is a total extension of all the records he's been making before, and it's been moving. And I remember every record he does, I always like send him a note, like a little
right.
note. I always send Robert a little note, like, "Yo, man, 153 to 157."
Right.
And you know, when I listened to Ornette records, and it was like almost you could like drop the needle, and you just kind of knew what sound it was. The sound was like that clear.
Robert Glasper and Jason Moran. the broadcast premiere of Easy Rider Blues and Boogie Woogie Stomp, a nod to Albert Ammons and Mead Lux Lewis, performed by Robert Glasper and Jason Moran. Celebrating 75 years, Blue Note Records history, at New York City's Town Hall. Coming up next, the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble, live. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. This is music from Brothers Hypnotic, Long Tones. The documentary film profiles the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble, a tightly knit group of eight musicians from inner city Chicago.
Long tones were the first thing we ever learned. So every time we start out with that because it's the most basic thing.
They're all the sons of one man, legendary jazz trumpeter Phil Coran. Coran co-founded the AACM.
We would start off at 6 in the morning playing long tones when we were kids. I remember playing long tones and our father would always be like, yo, this was a great long tone. But what he meant was that he could feel all of our energies connected.
Phil Coran. His legacy and the future of his music is told by the lives of his sons. We caught the brass ensemble on tour when they visited the 2014 Winter Jazz Festival at New York City's Le Poisson Rouge. The Checkout brings you highlights of their performance now.
I mean, our father taught us that it was the long tone, and it makes sense. Because anything that's worth anything lasts long.
Y'all feeling all right out there in New York City? We are a family band. These are my brothers. We've been doing this a long time. Our dad's name is Phil Coran. We give him the credit. We did not think this up. A parent started up, and we just kind of kept rolling with it.
We'll be right back.
The Hypnotic Brass Ensemble recorded at Le Poisson Rouge in New York City, January 10th, 2014. I spoke to two of the band members, Sid and Saber, about one of their more popular songs.
Somebody tell me about Menage.
Well, Menage.
I think that's a French custom, actually.
Yes. Now, of course, it means Menage a trois, and automatically it insinuates something sexy, cool. Seductive. Like, jazz is that all day. It's one of our more jazz tunes, but our new version, our new expression of jazz. And so in France, we have this funny thing where the French, a lot of them know English, but they will not tell you. They'll wait and see if you, like, merci beaucoup, or just some little French, and then they'll start speaking English. But if they think you just have come to their country and don't know anything, they won't say anything to you. So we had a lot of experiences where we're playing for whole audiences that we might as well not even introduce the song because
they
can't even follow. But we were communicating with them very well. So Menage is just how we built it with that name and that vibe. When we heard it, Clef and Huda wrote it, and we heard it and built it into just that vibe of the communication, the unseen communication.
Yeah, how do you,
you know what I mean?
I'll say it. How do you get, it's you and a lady, she doesn't understand your language, you don't understand hers. How do you guys have a good time? How do you guys go out and order her drinks and communicate with each other? So it started at that premise, but then we thought, okay, well, we want a song that you can put this song in a radio, and if you, group of females, you don't know how to kind of get the words out, you can put the song on, and it would do it. And you tell them, hey, maybe the song is Menage a Trois. So, I mean, we were reaching in that direction, and I think, you know, if you know you got enough swag, you might be able to pull it off. You know, who knows?
It sounds like you guys pull it off. Let's hear it. Thank you.
Ménage à Trois, performed live by the Hypnotic Brass Ensemble at Le Poisson Rouge. Learn more about this amazing band of brothers by seeing their award-winning film, Brothers Hypnotic. Go to hypnoticbrassfilm.com. The Checkout is a podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Stream all of our programs online. checkoutjazz.org. Follow us on Twitter at checkoutjazz. The producer is Simon Rentner. You can follow him too at Simon Rentner. Special thanks to David Tallickson for the concert mixes. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for listening.